Welcome to Program Notes for your North Carolina Symphony, an exclusive production of the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. I'll be reading the program notes for all of the Classical Music Series concerts by the North Carolina Symphony for the 2019-2020 season. Now, the program notes I'm reading today are for concerts by the North Carolina Symphony at 12 noon on Friday, December 6th, 8 p.m. that same evening, and Saturday, December 7th at 8 p.m., all at Maymandy Concert Hall, Duke Energy Center for the Performing Arts in Raleigh. These performances will be conducted by musical director Grant Llewellyn, and the featured soloists will be as follows. Ellie Dean will be the soprano, Jennifer Johnson Cano, the mezzo-soprano, Andrew Owens, tenor, Federico De Michelis, bass baritone, and the North Carolina Master Chorale under the direction of music director Alfred E. Sturgis. Now, the program on this very special evening performance will include the entire composition of The Messiah, all three parts with the complete 54 movements. The 12 noon performance will be an abridged version of the total work with select movements from each of the three parts. The noon performance will also feature the soprano only, along with the master chorale. Now I'll begin our reading of the symphony notes. First, I'll begin with some information about our soloists. We begin with Ellie Dean, the soprano. The American soprano Ellie Dean has shared her skills with opera houses and orchestras, including the Metropolitan Opera, Teatro alla Scala, Royal Opera House, the Bavarian State Opera, the San Francisco Opera, and many others in the U.S. and Europe. In the 2019-20 season, Dean will debut with the Michigan Opera Theater as Donna Anna in Mozart's Don Giovanni, and with Arizona Opera as Mimi in Puccini's La Bohème. She joins the roster of the Metropolitan Opera, covering the role of Amelia Grimaldi in Verdi's Simon Boccanegra, and debuts with Boston's Odyssey Opera for concert performances of Catherine of Aragon in Sanson's Henry VIII, a role she previously recorded for commercial release with the American Symphony Orchestra in New York City. Her discography, by the way, includes a chamber music project, Ravel, Intimate Masterpieces. Next, Jennifer Johnson Cano, the mezzo-soprano for this performance. With more than 100 performances on the stage at the Metropolitan Opera, Jennifer Johnson Cano has garnered acclaim for performances of both new and standard repertoire. For her 2019 Boston Lyric Opera performance as Ofred in Paul Reuter's The Handmaid's Tale, she was lauded as a consummate actress by the Wall Street Journal, a tour de force by the Boston Globe, and towering, restless, powerful, profound. She is as formidable as this astonishingly demanding role deserves, according to the New York Times. Cano is a native of St. Louis and earned degrees from Webster University and Rice University. Now, information about Andrew Owens, the tenor. This season, American tenor Andrew Owens will debut with the Irish National Opera at Don Ramiro as Don Ramiro in Rossini's La Cenerentola, and will return to Theater Underveen for role debuts as Jacob Glock in Prokofiev's Der Fürige Engel and the Werther Jug in Richard Strauss's Salome. In the 2018 and 19 season, Owens made his opera Philadelphia debut as Arturo in Donizetti's Lucia di Lammermoor, performed Count Almaviva in Rossini's Il Barbieri di Siviglia and with the Manitoba Opera, and covered the role with Glyndebourne Festival. He also returned to the Kammeroper Wien and performed Beethoven Symphony No. 9 with the Fort Wayne Philharmonic. And finally, for the featured soloist here, Federico De Michelis, the bass baritone. Argentinian bass baritone Federico De Michelis praised by Opera News as singing with a deep-voiced authority. As a graduate of the Houston Grand Opera Studio, he was previously a member of the Opera Studio of Teatro Argentina de La Plata and a student at the La Escuela Superior de Música Reina Sofía in Madrid. In the current season, he will make a house and role debut as Leporello in Mozart's Don Giovanni with the Florida Grand Opera, sing Colleen in Puccini's La Bohème with Seattle Opera, and return to the Houston Grand Opera for Balthazar in Donizetti's La Favorite. He previously premiered with the North Carolina Symphony in 2018 as a soloist in the Mozart Mass in C minor. He was born in Buenos Aires. De Michelis received third prize in the Eleanor McCollum competition at the Houston Grand Opera, and he was named outstanding student by Her Majesty Queen Sophia of Spain. And finally, the North Carolina Master Chorale, one of the major choral organizations of the Southeast. The Master Chorale has been performing for more than 75 years and boasts ensembles ranging from 16 to 200 voices, with singers selected by audition. The Master Chorale has been the resident chorus of the North Carolina Symphony since 2015. With a repertoire from Renaissance to contemporary music, the chorale performs 6 major concerts each season and collaborates with orchestras, opera and ballet companies, and touring productions. The organization has received a Raleigh Medal of Arts in recognition of its heritage and artistic contributions. Music director Dr. Alfred E. Sturgis holds multiple degrees in music and has greatly expanded the chorale's membership and musicianships during his 27-year tenure. In 2019, Christine Kastner joined the staff as executive director. Founded as the Raleigh Oratorio Society in 1942, the chorale now works with more than 250 artist musicians each season, reaching an annual audience of more than 10,000 choral arts enthusiasts. Now, information about the featured work on this performance, The Messiah by George Friedrich Handel. Handel was born February 23, 1685, in Halle, Germany. He died April 14, 1759, in London. The work was composed in 1741, the first performance, April 13, 1742, in Dublin, conducted by the composer. Here's a quote about The Messiah that I'd like to share with you. It was written by Janet Hall, a violinist for the North Carolina Symphony. She says, "In 1742, the king stood as he heard the Hallelujah chorus. When the king stands, everyone does. Almost 300 years later, all audiences everywhere do the same thing. I mentally embrace and love that historical connection every time I play The Messiah." Again, that quote was by Janet Hall, one of the violinists for the North Carolina Symphony. Now here's the story. By now, probably the best-known, best-loved, and most-performed choral work of all time, Messiah was, in many ways, an experiment for Handel. Faced with the sharp decline in popularity of opera seria, the composer's first love, Handel somewhat reluctantly toyed with the new musical form of his own devising. The oratorio, a musical dramatization of a sacred theme performed without staging or scenery, was first developed in Italy at the beginning of the 17th century. Well, about the same time in Germany, unstaged renditions of Christ's Passion, according to the evangelists, were performed during Holy Week. But the English oratorio, as developed by Handel, while owing something to these early ancestors, was quite a different creature. Necessity is the mother of invention, and for Handel, the oratorio was something of a compromise. It was a way to continue to compose and perform opera-like works in the face of the decline in popularity of opera proper, and a way to continue to hold performances when the theaters were closed, as for Lent or for the death of Queen Caroline. By the time Handel began to compose his first oratorios, he was nearly 50 and a consummate master of all of the musical genres of the High Baroque. His technical expertise, combined with a deep sensitivity in portraying human feelings in music, provided him with the tools for creating something truly original. His dramatic use of the chorus was indirectly borrowed from Greek tragedy, where it serves both to portray the community and to comment on the action. Because scene structure was no longer wedded to the operatic formula, he expanded the structural possibilities of the solo arias and their placement within the drama. Most of Handel's oratorios were musical dramas based on biblical stories. Messiah, however, is not a dramatic oratorio, but rather a collection of biblical extracts compiled as a complement and response to the story of Christ's incarnation, death, and resurrection. There are no dramatic characters. The soloists adopt a primarily prophetic voice, and the chorus responds as a kind of universal congregation. It is unique among Handel's work. Perhaps that is why Israel in Egypt, rather than Messiah, was the model followed by future composers, including Haydn for the creation and Mendelssohn for Elijah. Handel composed Messiah in a little over 3 weeks, dipping into earlier compositions when it suited his taste and probably his schedule. And he shall purify, for unto us a child is born, and his yoke is easy, were originally Italian secular cantatas for two voices. Remnants of opera seria style can be heard in the aria Rejoice Greatly. But the repeat of the first part is by no means exact, driving to an emotional and musical climax that ends the aria. Another distinction in this aria is that Handel notated the ornamentation instead of allowing the singer to improvise, as was the custom with the castrati singers who dominated the operatic stage. Commissioned by the Lord Lieutenant of Dublin, Messiah was an enormous success at its premiere performance in 1742, but it fell flat the same year in London. Only after it had been revised and presented in a successful concert for the benefit of the Foundling Hospital in London did it take off on the way to its current popularity. But nothing boosted the work so much as its adoption every Christmas by traditional English civic choral societies, in which casts of thousands continue to belt out the choruses that, at its premiere, were performed by only 33 instrumentalists and 32 singers. Now, here are some listening tips. Part 1. The first part of Messiah deals primarily with the prophecies of Christ's birth, mainly from the book of Isaiah and Psalms. The texts are all optimistic, focusing on redemption through acceptance of a merciful and gentle Savior. The actual Christmas story is told only in the three central numbers, the chorus, "For unto us a child is born," the recitative, "There were shepherds abiding," and the chorus, "Glory to God in the highest," in which the soprano soloist serves as evangelist, and the chorus as mankind and the heavenly host of angels, respectively. Always attentive to matching words and music, Handel, like Bach, frequently used tone painting to accentuate important textual elements. Note the trills on the word shake in the bass recitative, "Thus saith the Lord," and the twisting chromatic vocal line in the bass aria. the people that walked in darkness. On the other hand, note the ironic difficulty of the musical line on the word easy in His yoke is easy and His burthen is light. The instrumental pastoral symphony portrays the shepherds through the use of the drone in the bass, representing a simple rural bagpipe and the lilting rhythm of traditional Italian folk music. Now part two. The second part is distinct from the Passion Oratorios in that it does not tell the story of the crucifixion. It is a meditation on Christ's death and mankind's need for redemption. The events surrounding the crucifixion occur as indirect allusions. The meditation begins with the chorus, "Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world." These words become the theme of part two. Jesus' sacrifice as a means of saving humankind. The chorus, "And with His stripes we are healed," conveys a redemptive message alluding to the scene of Jesus' torture. Handel lightens the tone a bit in the chorus, "All we, like sheep, have gone astray," by writing meandering vocal lines, sometimes with incorrect counterpoint, one of the most brilliant tone-painting devices in the Messiah. The recitatives and arias, "He was despised," "Thy rebuke hath broken His heart," "Behold, and if there be any sorrow," and "they that see Him," are more intimate and are a contemplation of Jesus' suffering. "But thou didst not leave His soul in hell," is the transition aria that introduces the second half of part two, the resurrection. It refers to the belief that Jesus descended into hell on Holy Saturday to bring out the souls of the righteous. At this point, the musical atmosphere lightens considerably, much of it welcoming Jesus into heaven, as in the chorus, "Lift up your heads." The text then turns to the spreading of the Christian message with the chorus, "Their sound is gone out." Nervous strings support the aria, "Why do the nations so furiously rage?" And part two ends with the Hallelujah chorus, celebrating the redemption of man. And part three, the final part of the Messiah, is a musical consideration of the message of redemption, and even looks forward to the second coming and the end of days, when the Messiah will return, with the aria, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." Every one of the numbers in part three treats the theme of eternal life. The final enormous chorus, "Worthy is the Lamb," is a joyous celebration of praise and thanksgiving. The instrumentation for the Messiah is for two oboes, bassoon, two trumpets, timpani, and strings. These program notes were written and copyrighted in 2019 by Joseph and Elizabeth Kahn. You have been listening to Program Notes for your North Carolina Symphony, an exclusive production of the North Carolina Reading Service. I will be reading all of the program notes from the classical music series of the North Carolina Symphony for the 2019-2020 season. This program is available on demand as a podcast on the day before each concert series and will remain available for the rest of the concert season. I'm George Douglas. Thanks so much for joining me today. We sincerely hope that listening to Symphony Notes will enhance your enjoyment of your North Carolina Symphony. Goodbye until next time.